VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our 30-minute program is designed for English learners. We speak slowly, using simple grammar and a limited vocabulary. Today, we have reports from Jonathan Evans and Dan Friedel. Alice Bryant brings us Ask a Teacher. And we close with an American story. But first, this news from Rome. The beating heart of Rome is not the marble of the Senate, it's the sand of the Colosseum, the Roman senator Gracchus said in the 2000 Oscar-winning movie Gladiator. The Colosseum is an ancient structure built more than 2,000 years ago. The Romans used the huge rounded building as a performance space. Thousands of people could be seated in the open-air theater to watch a show or public activity. Performances included competitions by professional fighters called gladiators, most of whom were enslaved. They often fought other gladiators, but also could face prisoners or dangerous animals like lions. Executions also took place there. The Colosseum is the largest building that the Roman Empire produced. It is also Italy's most popular ancient structure. More than 7.6 million people visited the Colosseum in 2019. But its own beating heart is the underground passages and rooms where prisoners, animals, and gladiators waited to enter the field above their heads. Now, that underground area, known as the Hypogeum, is open to the public after lengthy repairs. More than 80 archaeologists, architects, and engineers worked on the 15,000 square meter area for 2 years. Tod's, the Italian clothing company, supported the work. Its chairman, Diego de la Valle, said the effort aimed to bring back to the center of the attention a monument that the whole world loves. The theater's balconies used to hold up to 70,000 people who would come to watch the gladiator fights, executions, and animal hunts. Before the Hypogeum was built, the space could also be filled with water to reenact sea battles. Now, a new 160-meter walkway permits visitors to see the Hypogeum. It is the second part of a three-part process that started 8 years ago, with Todd's promise of $30 million to pay for the project. Todd's is also supporting several similar projects in the country. It is important for relevant companies to make themselves available to the country, understanding what they can do for the country, De La Valle said. This is about important pieces for Italy, monuments that are well known all over the world, he added. The first part of the project included cleaning the outside walls of the Colosseum. That was completed in 2016. The final part includes renewing the area where the public would watch the events. Workers are putting in a new lighting system and creating a new visitor center. The project is expected to be completed in about 3 years. Separately, the Italian government has decided to provide the ancient Roman theater with high-technology flooring which is expected to be in place by 2023.
This is the sound of 15-year-old Nigerian boxer Tijani Abdulaziz training. He hits the target hard, again and again. He uses boxing gloves to protect his hands. Known as TJ, the boy works out on a dusty piece of land in Alagbado, a neighborhood outside Lagos. TJ dreams that one day someone will see him box and help him travel to a country where he can grow even more in his sport. He dreams of training in a real sports center and competing against the best young boxers in the world. I want to become a professional fighter, like Anthony Joshua, Mike Tyson, Tyson Fury, and I want to represent Nigeria, TJ said. His boxing awards already decorate his small home. His father, Abdul Fathi Abdulaziz, sells wood, but he also trains TJ and helps him get all the equipment for daily boxing training. Abdul Fathi started the Owonikoko Boxing Group. He said he hopes boxing's success will help the boys he trains feed their families one day. Until then, the boxing gives the boys structure and keeps them busy and safe. Sports, he said, prevent them from becoming a nuisance. The boys jump, do push-ups and other exercises to get into good condition for boxing. They practice on rubber ground covers placed in the shape of a boxing ring. People stop to watch. In another neighborhood in Lagos, the boys in the club entered a series of fights. The setup was more professional, with a full-size fight space, ropes, and a crowd cheering for the young boxers. TJ had a good day. He won another award for his family's collection. Among the crowd at the event was Akeem Kilani, a boxer himself. TJ is a talented boxer, he said. You can tell he is our champion, and he will be Nigeria's champion tomorrow. I'm Dan Friedel.
Japanese automaker Honda plans to design and manufacture its own electric vehicles in the coming years. Company officials say they will begin building their own electric vehicles after two EVs made by American automaker General Motors go on sale in 2024. It's absolutely our intention to produce in our factories, said Honda of America Executive Vice President Dave Gardner. He added that Honda has developed battery manufacturing technology from building gas, electric, hybrid vehicles. Honda and GM have been partners in making hydrogen and electric-powered vehicles. Earlier this year, the companies announced that GM would build two sport utility vehicles, one Honda Sport SUV and one Acura SUV. Both would use GM's electric vehicle design and battery system. The company said the Honda SUV would be named the Prologue. Both SUVs will have bodies, interiors, and driving elements designed by Honda. Honda then plans to manufacture most of its own electric vehicles. The company has not decided if it will use GM parts. Gardner said Honda expects to sell between 40,000 and 150,000 Prologue EVs a year. But he did not predict when those numbers would be reached. In April, the company said it plans to stop producing gasoline-powered vehicles in North America by 2040. Honda wants 40% of the vehicles it sells in North America to be powered by batteries or fuel cells by 2030. The company also wants 80% of all the vehicles it sells to run on batteries or hydrogen by 2035. Earlier, Honda had planned to meet stronger government fuel economy and pollution requirements by adding hybrid vehicles. But government actions across the world meant to fight climate change have moved the company more toward fully electric vehicles, Gardner said. Electric vehicles made up less than 2% of new vehicle sales in the U.S. last year. But experts predict huge growth as automakers develop new models. Car industry advisor LMC Automotive expects 359,000 to be sold this year. They also expect sales to reach 1 million in 2023 and 4 million in 2030. That is about 25% of yearly new vehicle sales. I'm Jonathan Evans.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Vincent in Kenya. He asks about the difference between two similar animals. Here is the question. What is the difference between a mule and a horse? Kindly help with the above. Regards, Vincent. Hi, Vincent. That is a great question. I did not know the answer until I did some research on the internet. I learned that these two animals are, in fact, family. A mule is the offspring of a female horse and a male donkey. Physically, mules are smaller than most horses, but larger than donkeys. They have bodies shaped like horses, but have the long ears of donkeys. Both horses and mules have been historically used for carrying or pulling heavy loads. But horses are often used for riding, racing, and other sports. Mules are known as work animals because of their ability to carry a lot of weight over long distances. Horses and mules are both very strong animals, but mules are stronger for their size and have better physical endurance they can also survive extreme weather, are thought to be more patient than horses, and usually live longer. In the second part of the 1900s, industrialized nations reduced their use of mules to transport heavy loads. But mules still perform this work in some roadless areas of the western United States. Mules are also used for outdoor activities, such as carrying supplies for hikers and helping mountain climbers bring equipment to base camps. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Alice Bryant.
Now it's time for an American story. Today we hear the third part of A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Another of the large airships exploded high. Members of the crew fell to the ground. The huge ship lost control and began turning again and again. Soon, it was close to the ground. The warriors climbed aboard the ship and began fighting the members of the crew who were still alive. Soon, the fighting stopped. The warriors began taking everything from the ship. At last, they brought a captive from deep within the ship. Two of the warriors had their captive by each arm. I wanted to see what new and strange form of life this creature would be. As they came near, I saw that it was a woman. She looked like a woman from Earth. She was young. Her skin was a light red, almost a copper color. I saw at once that she was extremely beautiful. She had a fine face with large dark eyes and long black hair. As her guards led her away, she saw me for a moment. She seemed very surprised. Her face looked hopeful, but when I made no attempt to speak to her, her face grew sad, and she looked very small and frightened. As I watched her disappear into a building, I realized that Sola was near me.
John Carter, that woman will be saved for the great games that are held by our people. The games are long and cruel, and end in death for those captured in battle. Her death will be slow and painful. She will die for the enjoyment of all.
Sola's face seemed sad when she said this. I could tell by the way she spoke that she did not like the games, and did not want to see the young woman die. She was very different from the rest of her people. Sola, do you not like the games?
No, John Carter. My mother died in the games. That is a secret you must not tell anyone. The wall where Tars Tarkas found you held eggs that produce our young. All the children belong to the tribe. A mother never knows which child is hers when they come out of the egg. My mother hid the egg that carried me. It was not placed within the walled area. She kept her secret until after I was born. But others discovered her secret and she was condemned to die in the games. She hid me among other children before she was captured. If this secret were learned, I too would die in the games. Before she left me, my mother told me the name of my father. I alone keep that secret. It would mean death for him as well as me. My people are violent and cruel.
The next day I entered the great room where the green Martians held meetings. The red woman prisoner was there too. Soon, the leader of the green Martians came into the room. His name was Lorquas Tomel. He began speaking to the prisoner.
Who are you? And what is your name?
I am the Princess Deja Thoris, daughter of Mors Kajak, the ruler of Helium. Our airship was on a scientific flight. We were to study the air and atmosphere. Without our work, the air on our planet would grow thin and we would all die. Why would you attack us?
As she talked, a warrior ran to her and hit her in the face, knocking her to the ground. He placed a foot on her small body and began laughing. I reached for the small sword I carried and rushed to attack the huge warrior. He was a strong opponent, but again, because of the low gravity on Mars, my strength was far greater than his. In a few short minutes, the green warrior was dead. I helped the young woman to her feet.
Who are you? Why did you risk your life to help me? You look almost the same as my people, but you wear the weapons of a green warrior. Who or what are you?
My name is John Carter. I am from the planet Earth. How I got here is a long story. I attacked that warrior because where I come from, men do not attack women. I will offer you my protection as long as I can. However, I must tell you that I too am a captive.
Come, John Carter, and bring the Red Woman with you. Let us leave this room quickly before some warrior attempts to stop us.
The three of us quickly returned to the building where I had spent the last several days. Sola then left to prepare food. Wulla sat in the corner and looked at the both of us. The young woman was afraid of poor, ugly Wulla. I told her not to fear him. Wulla is not only my guard, he is my friend. I have treated him with kindness that he has never known. As each day passes, he trusts me more. I now think he would follow any command I give. Sola has told me that all captives are held until they can die in the great games held by the Green Martians. Our only chance to survive is to escape, but we must have Sola's help for our plan to succeed.
Yes, if we stay with the Green Warriors, we will both die. If we are to escape, we will need several of the animals to ride. It will be our only chance.
I have several of the animals. They were given to me when I became a warrior. Sola came back later with food for the two of us. Deja Thoris and I asked for her help. The three of us talked long into the night. At last, Sola gave us her answer.
Your best chance for escape will be in the next 2 days. We will leave this city tomorrow and begin a long trip to the home of our tribe. I will help you escape, but I must come with you. I will be killed if you escape.
Sola, of course you must come with us. You are not cruel or violent, as many of your people are. Help us, and I can promise you a much better life. You will be treated with respect as an honored guest.
The next morning, we rode away from the city on our animals. More than 1,000 animals were carrying the huge tribe of green Martians. Also in the group were one American, one princess of the royal house of Helium, our guard Sola, and poor, ugly Wula. Late that night, we left the camp. One animal carried me, another Sola and Princess Deja Thoris. Wula followed close behind. We rode quickly through the Martian night. I looked into the sky and saw Earth across the great distance of space. Since I had met the Princess Deja Thoris, I had not thought once of Earth or home. I knew then that I would never willingly leave her. The next morning, I could see that we were being followed by several hundred of the green warriors. Our animals were very tired. I knew we must stop. I told Sola and the princess to take the stronger of the two animals and ride away. I will hold back the green warriors as long as I can. Wula, go with them and guard them with your life.
We can't leave you alone. It would be certain death if you are captured again. You must come with us.
Sola took the princess by the arm and lifted her on top of the animal she had chosen. Quickly, she began riding away. For a moment, Wula looked at me, then turned and ran after them. I took out my rifle from its case. I began firing to slow the green warriors. I was able to slow them for more than an hour, but then I had no more ammunition. Soon, I was surrounded. A green warrior got off his animal and came toward me. He pulled out his long, thin sword. I reached for mine. As we neared each other, I saw it was Tars Tarkas. He stopped and spoke to me very slowly.
You will die here today, John Carter. It is I who must kill you. Know that I will take no pleasure in your death.
And that's our show. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, with another Learning English program on the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Katie Weaver.